At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities.
All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nickel, and this is the first VMIX software production. So looking forward to that. And I'm the voice of Augustana Football. And joining me today, Darren Oregon, defensive back here for the Vikings. So, Darren, thanks for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So, Darren, for those watching, do a little introduction about yourself and tell folks kind of who you are.
Absolutely. So I'm Darren Oregon. I'm a junior, play defensive back, cornerback, and my major is graphic design and computer science.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting into that and understanding kind of why you chose that path. So, but you're from Aurora, Illinois, and went to, Oswego East. So what brought you to Augie?
So what brought me to Augie is the brotherhood. When my recruiter, Dave Ragone, he took me on like 3 or 4 visits, and I actually went to an Augustana game. It was against Elmhurst here at home, and I just liked the atmosphere. I liked the it had my major, and I just liked the brotherhood on the team, and I had an overnight visit too, and that was good too. So that's what brought me here.
Nice. Well, good choice. We're lucky to have you. So we're in week 5 of the season. The Vikings are 2-1 so far on the year. This week is homecoming, it's family weekend, so the campus is going to be, full of family and friends. But before we kind of get into that, let's talk a little bit about, the Milliken game. So Vikings came away with a win, but, what were maybe, just some of your thoughts as you've been kind of downloading on last Saturday's game?
Yeah, so we came up with the dub. A lot of people thought we were going to win by more, but we got it with the dub. That was cool. But I feel like we should have won more, in my opinion. Defensively, I think the problem with ours were, technique-wise, including myself. So, technique-wise, eyes and tackling. So, tackling has been a big part of our program. We've been talking about tackling since, last spring and in the fall and even the summer. So, I feel like if we focus on tackling more and just doing what we do, then we will become more successful in those games.
Well, you finished with 5 tackles, you had 2 pass breakups, and that late interception pretty much all but sealed the game. Can you walk me through kind of that late interception and, what were you seeing and the ball and the reaction and all that?
Yeah, so late in the game, we were up 24-20, I believe, and we just needed to, stop them. We needed to stop them from scoring a touchdown. We needed to stop, limit those explosive plays, and I remember Johnny Breeden telling me the coverage and the snap of the ball, and I saw that ball go up in the air, and I wanted to attack the ball. Coach Greer stresses me attacking the ball a lot, and I need to do that more. But I saw the ball in the air, and I wanted to make a play, and I got the interception. And that was a big momentum changer too, because turnovers are always good to have.
Man, and exactly. I mean, I remember the interception you had last year, you know, at WashU. I mean, that was, you know, right out of the gate. I mean, the defense was playing hard, and, you know, and you had a real nice pick. And so we'll talk a little bit about last year, too. And but as we look ahead like this week, I mean, what are you expecting to see from, you know, North Park and Matt Eck and his receiving core?
Yeah, North Park, I mean, they were undefeated till last week, so they're a pretty good team. And Matt Eck, their quarterback, I think he threw for like 460-some yards last week, and even with their loss. And they have one of the top two receivers in the conference right now, especially like in yards per se. And we've been focused on that a lot this week. You know, during our scout team, we'd be having players using number one or number three because we know those are like their main star receivers. And looking forward to the game. Like I said earlier, we just need to just do our little things, you know, focus on little things, our technique, our eyes, and our tackling. And if we just do what we do, and we will come out with the W. But North Park, they're a good team. They're a good team. So we cannot overlook.
I agree, man. I mean, Kyle Rooker and that team, he's really got them, you know, they're playing a lot better. I think it's his sixth season with them. So I mean, he's doing well and kind of building that program up, and it's, you know, it's been a long road for him. And, you know, I know like Matt Eck, he's the last 2,000-yard passer since like T.D. Conway did in like the 2013 to 2015. So yeah, you talked about Jeremy Mbango. I mean, he's got 342 and some touchdowns. Wesley McLeod is another one. So 1-3, that's your key. That's your key. So last week, you know, on the Viking press pass with Johnny Breeden, I asked him to give me some perspective on playing, you know, secondary in the CCIW. And, you know, on this defense, can you provide maybe some insight around, like, what makes it unique or, you know, for a cornerback kind of within this defense? Like, what's your role? What's your responsibilities? And how do things change kind of in the secondary because, you know, that cornerback position?
Yeah, so as a corner, playing in the secondary, as far as corner, it's like a mind game because you never know if the quarterback is going to throw to you. You never know what's going on. So you just got to, like, stay disciplined. And in our scheme, it's all about communication. So, like, recognizing the formations, even if we don't call out the formations, just recognizing the formations, calling a nub, calling reverse, just communicating, like, well. But as a corner, for me, it's just all about eyes and just trusting your technique and having what you have in your toolbox.
Well, and you're generally right, the field side corner. So, you know, you got Braden, Hoochin, or Caden Shaw that are really on that boundary side. So, you know, to the average viewer, I mean, they may not know much of a difference of how those roles can change substantially based on being field side or boundary side. How would you describe, you know, how those roles kind of change based on boundary corner versus like a field corner?
Yeah. So, as a boundary corner, you don't gotta like necessarily be as tight. You gotta be more tighter because, it happens so fast. So like the boundary side is to the short side of the field. So you're gonna like get tested a lot per se, but it just happens so fast. And then the field side, you can like see more, like you can like see like not the whole entire field, but like since we're angled, you can see part of the field. So it doesn't happen so fast. And you also have people like to help you, not to say like the boundary side, you don't have people to help you, but the field side, it's like more wider. So you can like play like not loose a little bit, but kind of loose. But in the boundary, you got to like recognize, okay, this is the shorter side of the field and this is where people are going to test you a lot. So, like, that's, like, the main difference.
You get a lot of one-on-ones, you know.
Oh, yeah, a lot of one-on-ones.
So, but then you go to the field side. It's like you may deal with, you know, pulling linemen, tight ends coming out, you know, the receiver trying to block you while you've got, you know, the lead back coming through. So, you know, so, again, it's a completely different game, you know, when you get over to that side. And do you like – Like, what kind of play do you like? Do you like to be physical, play tight? Like, what's kind of your style? Like, I was a big fan when I played. I was basically in a bail technique, and I wanted to come back to the ball, you know, because I wasn't the fastest. So, you know, how do you like to play, or what kind of game, you know, do you like to see the game kind of evolve through or throughout that time?
Yeah, I feel like for me, you know, going back from last year, I wasn't really that much of a physical corner or, like, boundary or field. But I think this year I implemented, like, being more physical, you know, putting my, like, hands on the receiver and making them not go anywhere. But I'm more of a, like, change up my technique. So, like, either if it's glide, press bail, or scooch, or press or catch man. So I'm more of a, like, change the technique guy. And then when I get to my technique before the receiver, and, like, that's, like, automatic 100% because now I can control your route, and now it's just, like, just play football.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you do it well. You do it well.
Thank you.
So, Coach Coach Creer, you know, what's his leadership style kind of like?
Coach Creer's leadership style, it's pretty – he's pretty vocal. You know, he breaks down film a lot. He gives us what we need. And on the field, he's pretty vocal too. You know, he'll like change up the coverage, or when we go off the sidelines, he'll like tell, "Hey, Dio or whoever's out in the corner, you're playing too loose, or you're playing too far." Like, kind of like challenging a little bit. So he loves to give us that type of feedback, and he loves to like and he'll get up in your grill if he feels like it. Like, he'll tell you what he needs to know, or what you need to know, and what you want to do, or what you need to do.
What type of, like, expectations does he like to set, you know, kind of for the secondary? Like, what are some of his maybe, like, non-negotiables, you know, playing in the secondary?
Yeah, so some of his, like, non-negotiables is just eyes. So, like, he talks about eyes, like, getting your eyes off the QB, getting your eyes off the, like, during scramble, like, get your eyes off the QB and get it to the receiver. But a lot of his non-negotiables is just discipline. It all comes down to discipline and just, like, what is your plan before the ball is snapped? What's your plan? Like, are you going to, like, what technique are you going to use? Mm-hmm. So he's more of a, like, what's your plan? And then when you know your plan, now you finish your plan and go play football.
So do you really choose then the technique you want to run with based on the coverage then?
Yeah, kind of. If we're, like, more in, like, a man technique, then I'll, like, you know, kind of switch up our, like, you know, technique, catch man, scooch and all that. But if we're, like, in, like a cover three per se, then I'll just stay in my glide. But it just all depends on, like, what formation they're in.
Yeah.
And what technique I want to use to make myself successful.
Well, and it's good. I mean, you think about, you know, scouting, you know, you never want to be running the same technique for,
yeah,
you know, every coverage and become a tip. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, so you got to play with that, right? Mm-hmm. Shade inside a little bit, even though, you know, you're going to maybe bail quick and you want to get outside and press them in. Like, there's a lot that really happens, you know, out there in the corner department. Man, you can be left on an island real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real quick. So last year, you and Nick Harper, second team, you know, honors at cornerback. You both combined for 10 interceptions. There's a lot here, by the way. Harper led the CCIW with 6. You were tied, you know, with second with 4. You know, after the Isthmus Bowl game, you know, you finished 3rd in total tackles on the team at 56. You were 2nd in solo at 47, you know, just behind really Tim Sweeney's 48. You had 4 interceptions, a touchdown. You started all 11 games. You know, you were 1 of 8 Vikings recognized on the conference team. It's like, man, it really felt like last year as a sophomore was a breakout year for you.
Yeah.
Going into this year, I mean, how do you change those expectations, like, for yourself or really your kind of your self expectations? Have they pretty much stayed the same? Like, how do you kind of approach this year, you know, coming off a year like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, like, last year I had a good year and stuff, but now it's, like, how can I build on from last year, or what can I do to make myself more successful last year? Because now it's like, okay, yeah, I have second team going to conference, but now it's like, okay, what can I do to get that first team, or what can I do to like help me in order for me to be a more successful football player? Because we all know that I had a good year last year. So now it's all about how can I build upon that, and how can I help myself, help the team, help the secondary as a whole.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that on the other conversations I was having yesterday was centered around changes to the clock this year. So the running clock, you know, you got the 2 minute halves, you know, that it's not stopping after first downs. So, you know, one of the questions I had kind of posed yesterday online was around, you know, total plays. How is that impacting this game this year? And are you noticing any impact on the field, whether that's like...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Does it feel like pace of play, you know, has increased a little bit? Any perspective on that?
Yeah, I feel like every game, every year, the pace of play is going to, like, increase. Like, the amount of play is going to have, like, I think it's 6 seconds or 4 seconds, the plays, every play. But it's only going to increase from there. And, yeah, the clock management, I feel like the biggest part is I always forget this, but the two-minute warning, they implemented that like second quarter and fourth quarter. And that's like basically, okay, let's all regroup. Let's all like make sure we're all on the same page. But those two things are like mainly like the two different changes.
Yeah, because, you know, as I think about, you know, allowing the offense, you know, additional time, right? You get out of bounds, you know, in the old format, right? You gain a first down in bounds, you know, and the clock would stop. Whereas now it's continuing to run. So now the offense is not only battling the clock on the scoreboard, but they're also battling, you know, their 25 seconds to get the snap off. So, you know, all that time continues to run off. And, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to understand just how it's feeling from the game perspective of like, is that putting more pressure on the offense or is it sometimes on the defense? And I feel like it's shifting. You know, in my 5 minutes, I thought about this is like, I feel like it's really shifting to putting additional pressure on the offense because they're really starting to battle now that overall total time, you know, within the period or half or game. So,
yeah.
Well, let's switch to some non-football stuff. So, it's family weekend, it's homecoming weekend. Do you have or anticipate, you know, a decent amount of family or friends kind of coming down for the game?
Oh, yeah. I anticipate a lot. I think my uncle's coming here. My twin brother, if you didn't know, he's coming here too. And, yeah, a lot of family members and friends. I'm looking forward to it.
And it's always a good time. Tailgate's going to be rocking and all kinds of stuff is going on. So, yeah, I'm purposely getting to Augie at like 8:30 in the morning so I can get a parking spot with everything going on. Yeah. So
the parking spots are always needed.
It is. So, you know, athletes are a creature of habit. And is there anything that you do particularly to kind of get yourself prepped, you know, for the day? Is it the night before, the morning of? Like, are there things that you just kind of find yourself just constantly, you know, doing to get your mind right for the game?
Yeah, so during like school days or I just focus more on just making sure I'm good, like, you know, having some like self-talk with myself or just like, you know, reading motivation or just like just doing like the little things to help me. But during game days, what helps me is music. So I'm like a big music guy. I like to listen to music. I like to just listen to like pump up music. If it's pump up videos, motivational videos, I just like listening to those to help get me ready or help get me in the mode. So like those are just like those things.
Nice. Yeah, I was, you know, I always had things where it's like I had, you know, I got dressed the same way. You know, I tape my wrist the same way, spatted my cleats up the same way. It didn't really matter. So now back at Oswego East, you were a bit of a hooper. I mean, you played point guard, shooting guard. I was looking on online. It looks like you were like 33-2 your senior year. I think you guys were ranked like eighth in 4A, and that's that plays folks like Moline, who's local to Augie, Quincy down south. You know, normal community. I saw UT. I called actually a normal UT game a couple years ago. So did you ever consider, you know, while you were looking at colleges about being a two sport athlete and playing basketball?
Yeah, kind of. I feel like after like my senior year, because I didn't think I was going to play football after like my high school days. Cause I was like, okay, now like I'm a good hooper, I'm a good player, but like now it's like, what do I want to do? Like, what sport do I want to do? And after my senior year, I wasn't really getting looks for basketball. I was getting a lot of looks for football. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take this football route. But during college, I'm like, okay, maybe I can play two sport athlete. But I just feel like that'll just be a lot of load on me, like a lot. So like I just had to choose one. So it was football.
Well, and really kind of starting this weekend, I mean, is when basketball activities, you know, start to creep up. So that's one that it's tight, you know, because it bumps up to each other. So
yeah.
Did you ever have any memorable high school games or shots or anything you had while you were at Oswego?
One of my memorable games was probably us, it wasn't a memorable game, but probably just us having like a 33-2 record, having the best record in Oswego East history. So that was always good. Probably a memorable game was our Thanksgiving tournament, our second game of the year, when we were down and we came back against a tough Hinsdale Central squad, and we ended up winning that tournament. So that's always good.
Nice, yeah. Now, I was there, so I've coached my son's, or helped coach my son's fourth grade basketball team last year, and we had a tournament over there at Pepsi, the PepsiCo Center. And so I saw a number of, you know, Augie players playing a pickup game over there. Who would you say are the best hoopers on the football team?
Best hoopers on the football team? Well, I'm going to put my boy Nate Henry up there.
Yeah.
Only because he did play basketball here at Augie before deciding to switch to football. But I'm going to put Ethan Vrabeck, Sean B. Smith, mainly the skilled position players. No offense to the offensive line people or the defensive line, but mainly the skills players, because those are the people that are like athletic and stuff and everything. But you can also put a couple O-line and D-line up there just for the benefit of the doubt.
All right. So graphic design and computer science, like what made you choose that? You know, as you think about, you know, what is life after football, whenever that looks like, what drove you to those majors?
Yeah, so graphic design, computer science. So when I was a kid, I was always like on computers. I was always like looking online. I'm like, okay, how are the stuff that we wear, how are those designed? So like when I got to college, I started to learn about, okay, graphic design is basically about designing stuff and designing what you want in order to impact or influence other people to get you want to like buy them. In computer science, even though we know computer science is hard, like technology, coding and all that, I just love like dealing with computers and love dealing with coding.
So have you done any internships yet?
No, not yet. But I'm looking for an internship probably this summer.
Okay. What do you think that translates like, you know, doing on a kind of career wise? You know, is there anything in particular that you're maybe looking for or trying to do or a particular industry?
Yeah, so if I do the graphic design field, if I get like internships in there, I'm gonna like look into more of like design studio jobs, like designing like companies, designing like artifacts or design like pictures that you can like post up and stuff. But computer science, if I get interested in that, I'm looking like being like kind of like software engineer, or like kind of looking like the data analytic field a little bit. So okay. Like, yeah, stuff.
All right. Well, you do realize I oversee talent acquisition in our operations for H&I. So hey, let me know. So then, I can try and keep you here local for the summer. Now, I've been asking everyone this. And this last question I have is maybe the most important one. Who has the best tailgate food after the game?
Best tailgate food. There's a lot of them. A lot of good food out there, but I'm gonna have to go with my roommate Zion. My roommate Zion, Zion's mom, she made the best tacos out there that I've ever had, and she made a good cake. So I'm gonna have to go with him. But don't get me wrong, everyone's tailgate food that I had, it's good. It's good.
But you know, the tailgate scene, man, it's awesome. Like, the community they build, you know, it's a good way to interact with players and family and you know, continue to kind of build that community. And hopefully that's, you know, it's just kind of reiterating, right, like, why you chose Augie and why folks should always choose Augie at the end of the day. So, well, that's great, man. Well, hey, I appreciate, you know, connecting with me today. You know, it's been a lot of fun to connect and talk with you. And you know, we have a big game coming up on Saturday, so looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. I think we're like 57-4 against North Park, so let's make it 58. But we got some skill players we have to lock down, so
yeah,
should be good. Well, hey, thanks again, Darren. You know, it was great talking to you, and I'm sure I'll see you on Saturday.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.